Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sixth grade and younger can talk. First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's stop for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach this message. I pray the Lord Jesus will be exalted and magnified as I try my best to explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit as our teacher. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit now, for His anointing, for His presence, for His power, for His clarity. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will help me to bring to mind the things that need to be said. I pray the Spirit of God will convict those in our midst that aren't saved and save them even today. I pray the Spirit of God will convict those that are saved and maybe need to get some things right. I pray the Spirit of God will fill me now as I endeavor to preach the Word of God. Just give us a great meeting today. We've been blessed already, and we're looking for even greater blessings now as the Word of God is proclaimed. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, He gave detailed instructions to His disciples regarding the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. These instructions are recorded in the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. If you really want to study the ministry of the Holy Spirit, those three chapters are vital. John 14, 15, and 16. It should be studied carefully and with great blessing. I'll give you an example. Jesus said in John 14, 26, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, would teach them all things. Notice, he said the Holy Spirit would teach them. The Holy Spirit would be their teacher. He's our teacher. He would teach them all things and bring all things to their remembrance. Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides us, He teaches us, and He teaches us the truth. He guides us into all truth. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, about the Holy Spirit, our teacher. By the way, the Old Testament teaches the same thing. We see in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. So it's taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Then look at our text here, 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So that's my theme, that's my subject this morning. The Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. In his very first epistle, John wrote three epistles, but in his first epistle, John refers to this as the anointing. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. And he says, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and it's true, and it's no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's a very fascinating verse, 1 John 2:27. John says the anointing is in you. All Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he says you need not that any man should teach you. That same Greek word translated anointing in 1 John 2:27, the word is chrisma, it's translated as unction in 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, these scriptures are not saying that pastors and other preachers and teachers are unnecessary, are unimportant. What John is saying here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, is that each and every Christian can be taught directly by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved today, you have a teacher that is a perfect teacher. And he will teach you as much as you want to learn. For example, you go to church, and in an hour or so, the service is over. That's it. And Lord willing, many of you will come back tonight and get some more teaching. But you know what? Every day, all day, every night, you can be taught by the Spirit of God. And He will teach you the truth. And that's an important principle. So when John says, ye need not that any man teach you, he's not saying, you don't need a pastor, you don't need an evangelist. No, he's saying, you even have a better teacher, that's the Holy Spirit. Each and every Christian has that teacher. He is our best teacher. Matthew Henry says, not that this anointing will teach you without the appointed ministry. It could, if God so pleased, but it will not. Though it will teach you better than we can. So here's Matthew Henry, who, by most people's account, would be the greatest expositor, saying he'll do a better, much better job than we can do. Of course, that's obvious. He's God. Holy Spirit is God. He'll teach us better than any man can teach us. Now, we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians 2 today. I already mentioned verse 13, says the Holy Ghost teaches us. And the first thing I want to focus on is, if we are taught by the Holy Spirit, He gives us wisdom. Interestingly, we're going through the book of Proverbs in Sunday school, which deals with wisdom. And this wisdom comes from God. We're going to refer to it this morning as spiritual wisdom. comes from the Spirit of God. Now, the word wisdom is found 18 times in 1 Corinthians. And 17 of these references are in the first three chapters. I'm going to go real quickly, so hang on tight. And if you've got a pen, you might want to mark these. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 19, God says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. And then we see the same thing through chapter 2. Verse 1 refers to wisdom. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, twice in verse 6, verse 7, and so on. Wisdom. The word wise is also found 12 times in 1 Corinthians, 9 times in the first three chapters. Now, I said all that to say this. The Apostle Paul is making a contrast between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world. Or I should say, the wisdom of men, which is the wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of God. Paul is making a contrast between worldly wisdom and God's wisdom, spiritual wisdom. Let me give you an example. Chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul says, I didn't come to you with worldly wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Notice the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I was taught directly by the Holy Spirit. My wisdom is not worldly wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Look also at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. So Paul says, my wisdom is not the wisdom of this world. So there's a contrast there between the wisdom of man, or the wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of God. Look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. So there's a contrast here in this epistle between the worldly wisdom and the wisdom of God. Spiritual wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. Worldly wisdom comes from men. 1 Corinthians 3:19, the next chapter. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Think about that. The wisdom of this world, what worldly men admire, what worldly men consider so wonderful, God says it's foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I just read it. The Greeks, or the Gentiles, seek after wisdom. Now here's the problem. The problem with worldly wisdom is that it's often mixed in with worldly foolishness. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians can't even tell the difference. That's why it's so important to know your Bible, to study your Bible. The problem with worldly wisdom, if I could be succinct and try to summarize it, the problem with worldly wisdom, it leaves out the Word of God. Or it misinterprets the Word of God. Or it contradicts the Word of God. That's the problem with worldly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So people who don't fear God are not wise. It doesn't matter how educated they are. They might have been to the best universities. They might have several degrees. Maybe they went all the way up and got their master's degree and their PhD and this and that. But if they're not saved, it's worldly wisdom. I hope you follow me this morning. According to the Bible, unsaved people are not wise. Or they might be intelligent, they might be educated, but according to God's Word, they're not wise. And the Bible teaches that the gospel of Christ is far better than the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 2:6. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." Paul declared that the preaching of the cross was more powerful and more effective than all the oratory and philosophy of the heathen world. Let me give you an example. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Well, look at verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." So Paul's saying the preaching of the cross, that's better than the wisdom of this world, though the world does not recognize it as such. The world considers it foolish. And verse 21 says, "God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's God's way of saving people. Preaching the cross. Preaching that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Preaching that Jesus came into this world for one specific reason: to die for you and me on the cross. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Christmas. And the big emphasis, well, it should be the big emphasis, is on the birth of Christ. I say should be because for many people the emphasis is on Santa Claus and shopping and parties and decorating and not on the birth of our Lord. And the shopping is really getting out of hand. Carl told me he heard about some lady with pepper spray was spraying people. I mean, isn't that wild and crazy? I heard about some store in Manhattan. They were out there for like hours and hours in the middle of the night. And they got tired of waiting. They broke through the plate glass window and went and started stealing stuff. I heard a Christmas shop, but that's Christmas stealing. And this apparently this kind of thing is going on all over the country. It cost, many of us remember, a couple of years ago, right here in the Walmart in Valley Stream. Guy was stomped to death. First day in the job, how's that? Very first day, and the guy was a big fella, 6'5" or something. They just crushed him, stomped him to death. And for what? To save $20 on an iPad, or to get a TV on sale, 20% off? But that's what it's all come down to. But what I'm trying to say is Christmas is supposed to be about the birth of Christ, but why did Jesus come into this world? To die as our substitute. To die as our Savior. To save us from hell. To save us from the penalty of sin, which is hell, and from the power of sin. Now, this is foolishness to the world, but this is the wisdom of God, according to the Bible. And as Christians, we need to be careful not to get caught up in worldly wisdom and worldly philosophies. And this portion of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians deals with this problem: worldly philosophy, worldly wisdom. He wrote it 2,000 years ago, but beloved, things haven't changed a whole lot in 2,000 years. The Scofield Study Bible says they were exulting, or they were rejoicing in human wisdom, which is foolishness in the things of God. They are reminded that the Christian revelation owes nothing to human wisdom. Paul pointed out in chapter 2, verse 4, that his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Matthew Henry says Paul had communicated to them truest and highest wisdom, such as exceeded all the attainments of learned men, such as could never have entered into the heart of man if it had not been revealed, nor can be received and improved to salvation but by the light and influence of that Holy Spirit who revealed it. We're talking about worldly wisdom versus spiritual wisdom, which is imparted to us by the Spirit of God. And by the way, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God will never teach us anything contrary to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Word of God. It's amazing. People tell me, well, the Lord led me. Hey, wait a minute. The Lord will never lead you contrary to the Bible. Never. Nor will He teach you anything that doesn't line up with the Bible. And that's so important. Now, Paul describes this wisdom of God as a mystery. Look in chapter 2, verse 7. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. J. Vernon McGee said, mystery in the New Testament always means something undiscoverable by the activity of the human intellect, but is revealed so that human intellect can apprehend it. And beloved, the human intellect can only apprehend it by the Spirit of God. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're not saved, and if you're not indwelt by the Spirit of God, you can't grasp a lot of what's in the Bible. That's why people say, well, you know, I tried reading the Bible, I can't understand it. Can I give you some advice? First, you need to get saved. Hello? Get saved, and then the Bible, well, now I understand things I never saw before, I never understood before. Because now the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And He'll teach you. You see, this is so important. Human intellect has to first be regenerated by the Holy Spirit in order to apprehend spiritual truth. This is something the Bible plainly teaches. That a mind that hasn't been quickened and regenerated by the Spirit of God cannot apprehend spiritual truth. For example, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. Now when Paul says God has revealed them unto us, he means us believers. Us Christians. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at verse 14. But the natural man, it's a preacher, what's the natural man? The natural man is the unconverted man. The natural man is the unregenerate man. The natural man is the unsaved man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Get that? He doesn't receive them. He doesn't apprehend them. He can't understand them. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now let me explain verse 14. It doesn't say he can't understand them because he's not intelligent. He might be very bright. Might be very sharp. Very intelligent. But if he's not saved, he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. That's very important. Now, the human intellect has to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He's the best teacher. He's a teacher that's always with us. Yea, not only with us, but in us. Amen. Other teachers come and go. I had some great teachers in Bible college. I don't see them much anymore. Sure, they're back somewhere in heaven now. But you know, the Holy Spirit is with me all the time. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. But in order to be taught by the Holy Spirit, we first have to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now he didn't say, I say unto thee, it's a pretty good idea if you're born again. He didn't say, I say unto thee, you know, your life might be a little better if you're born again. He didn't say, let me suggest unto thee, think about being born again. No, he said, you must be born again. You must. My friend, if you're not born again, you're not going to go to heaven, I'll tell you right now. You can't get to heaven by your good works. You can't get to heaven because you were baptized. You can't get to heaven because you're a church member. You can only get to heaven if you're born again. He said, marvel not, don't be surprised, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus said, being born again is being born of the Spirit. Regenerated by the Spirit of God. Now, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and now hears the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does that mean? You don't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind, right? You see leaves blowing. Unfortunately, in our parking lot, we see garbage blowing. Every Sunday morning, got to come in and pick up the trash. The wind blows it around. Wind blows it into our lot. I wish the wind would always blow it out of the lot, but it doesn't always work that way. Wind blows the garbage cans down the block, right? The wind, you see the leaves, you see the limbs of the tree, right? You can't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the results of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You see the Holy Spirit moving in somebody's life.
Amen.
And you see changes. When there's a genuine conversion, there'll be a genuine filling of the Spirit of God, and you see a genuine change in a person's life.
Amen.
I hear people say, well, I'm saved, but you don't look like you're saved, you don't act like you're saved, you don't talk like you're saved. Where's the change? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Should be a change. Now, getting back to our text here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom, talking about spiritual wisdom here, not worldly wisdom, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now that throws people off right there. So how can I be perfect? Because we're thinking of the word perfect the way the world uses perfect. Oh, we think perfect means sinless. Let me just remind you, the only person who ever walked this earth that was sinless is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So perfect cannot mean sinless. Perfect, in this context, does not mean sinless. In the Bible, the word perfect means fully grown, or mature, spiritually mature. Now, with that in mind, let's look at verse 6 again. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are spiritually mature. Okay? That's the idea. You see? Now, in order to be fully grown or spiritually mature, you first have to be born again. Amen? You can't be spiritually mature until you're born again. You can't get into high school until you finish grammar school. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, somebody's got to get to kindergarten first. Amen? That's what it's all about. You've got to be born again first. Then when you're born again, the Spirit of God becomes your teacher, and you start growing, and you become spiritually mature. So Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, among those that are spiritually mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. Come to nothing, he says. Their wisdom comes to nothing. So, first you have to be saved, born again. In order to be fully grown or mature spiritually, you first have to be born again. Let me emphasize, education is no substitute for regeneration. I'm not minimizing the importance of education. I believe get as much education as you can. Go out and get a BS. But before you get your BS, make sure you get your BN. Born again. Amen?
Amen.
You see, some people are educated, but they're educated fools what they are. That's right. Go out and get your degrees. Go out and get as many as you can get. We have some educated people here. I thank God for you. Amen. And I think if you can't go out and go to college, read as much as you can. You can become self-educated. Amen. I know some of the smartest people I know haven't gone that far along in school, but they read a lot and study on their own. Amen.
Amen.
And as you study the Word of God, remember there's a teacher with you who's in you, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you'll get the best education that way. Amen. So, getting a good education is great, but make sure you're saved first. Amen?
Amen?
Because an education can never be a substitute for being regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God. So, people complain, well, you know, Pastor, I just can't understand the Bible. Are you sure you're saved? Because if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit teaching you. So, the first step is regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The second step is given to us in Hebrews 6:1. Let us go on unto perfection. To maturity is the idea. Which brings me to my next point. Spiritual wisdom, second, spiritual illumination. Illumination. After spiritual initiation comes spiritual illumination. Spiritual initiation comes with regeneration, being born again. Then comes spiritual illumination. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Again, when Paul says God revealed them to us, he means us believers. God showed us these things. God has taught us these things. How? By the Spirit of God. By the Holy Spirit. And then he says, for the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you want to know the deep things of God? Get into your Bible. And before you study your Bible, pray. Say, Lord, I know the best teacher is the Spirit of God. So teach me. And I guarantee you, He'll teach you. Amen. Now let me just say this. Some people get mixed up with some of these words like illumination and regeneration. Regeneration simply means born again. Amen? It must be born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, we're born again by the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. The Word of God says Jesus died for your sins. Took your place on the cross. Rose from the dead. Believe that and you'll be saved, the Bible says. Regeneration. Born again by the Spirit of God. Illumination sometimes is confused with inspiration, but there's a big difference. The word inspiration refers to the process whereby God breathed out His Word to the various writers. Moses, David, Solomon, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, Paul, and so on. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, everything in the Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what we mean by inspiration. God inspired. It's God's inspired Word. Nothing in the Bible was put there unless God wanted it there. And nothing was left out. It's the Word of God. Inspired. No other book is inspired. People say, why do the Bible is inspired the same way Shakespeare is inspired? No, Shakespeare is not inspired. If you're talking about the way we're using the word inspired. No other book is inspired. Only the Bible. It's inspired. Infallible. Inerrant. No mistakes. You say, you believe there's no mistakes in the Bible? I know there's no mistakes in the Bible. Now, that's inspiration. 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's inspiration. Preservation means God has preserved His Word free from error down through the ages. People say the Bible's an old book. It's been around a long time. Yes, that's true, and God's preserved it from error. There's no mistakes in the Bible. People say, how do you know you have the right Bible? I know, I got the King James Bible, amen? It's the right Bible. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, watch this, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has preserved His Word forever. Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away. What? His words will never pass away. Preserved. The Word of God. Now, that's inspiration. That's preservation. What's illumination? I'm talking about spiritual illumination. Illumination refers to the process whereby God imparts spiritual truth to you and to me. Stephen Alford said, following spiritual initiation, there must be illumination. And the reason for this is that human contemplation and observation can never penetrate the deep things of God. In other words, the philosophical approach and the scientific method are limited by time and sense and can only bring us to the end of human reasoning. But where human investigation fails, spiritual illumination prevails. Spiritual illumination means God, the Spirit of God, reveals things to you and to me. Makes the Word of God clear to us. That's why you first have to be saved. You first have to be born again. That's why when Paul says in chapter 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, he means God revealed them to us believers by His Spirit. And in verse 16, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, who can say that? Who can say we have the mind of Christ? Well, Paul can say it. And you know what? If you're saved, you can say it too. You can say that. So I have the mind of Christ. How do you know that? Well, I got saved. And the Holy Spirit indwells me. And He's my teacher. And so He shows me, He teaches me. And so I have the mind of Christ. By the way, the mind of Christ is revealed to us in the Bible. Yeah. And the Spirit of God will never lead us contrary to the Bible. That's very, very important. Jesus said in John 14, as I said earlier, John 14, 15, and 16 are invaluable if you want to understand the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving you shortly, but don't worry, I'm going to send a comforter. And He'll be your teacher. Remember, for 3 years, He was their teacher, right? And they were concerned He was going to leave them. He kept saying, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, you're not going to see me. They were worried about that. Don't worry, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm not leaving you comfortless. And He's going to teach you. And so John 14, 15 and 16 deal with that. And John 14, 16 and 17 says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Some will say, well, I used to be saved. If you were saved, you're saved forever. He says, the comforter will stay with you forever. Now you might have got backslid. Get back on track, amen? Or maybe you were never really saved in the first place. Get that settled now. But if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says you're sealed by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, watch this, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Those are precious words. Jesus says He's going to be with you forever, and He's going to be not only with you, but in you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. But here's what I'm getting at now. He says the world cannot receive the Spirit of God, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. So how can the Spirit of God teach them if they don't know Him? Right? You say, Pastor, I got a good teacher. I don't know Him. Right? He can't teach me. I don't even know Him. But you say, Pastor, I got a good teacher, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know Him. Amen? He's my teacher too. Amen? Now, spiritual illumination is for those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. It's not for the unsaved. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts the unsaved. Oh, yes. I've seen unsaved people get convicted. I can even see their countenance doing it. And they shake, and they're convicted. And sometimes they come forward and get saved. Sometimes they don't. Strangely, sometimes they come forward and still don't get saved. I can't figure that one out. They're under conviction. They know they're lost. They know they're going to go to hell. They come forward and still don't get saved. I think when they come forward, the devil whispers in their ear, you got plenty of time. There's no hurry. You get saved next week. You get saved next month. You get saved next year. You don't know that! And I've seen people come forward, not get saved, and die and go to hell. I'll never forget. One young lady used to come here to our Friday night youth activities and seemed to really enjoy church, but she wouldn't get saved. Wouldn't get saved. Friendly girl, polite, well-mannered, had a winsome personality, wouldn't get saved. I lost track of her. It often happens. People come and go in church all the time. It's like people constantly coming and going. You can't keep track of everybody. But I lost track of her. And then one day, you know, I had to recognize visitors. How many here for the first time? This lady stood up. I said, how did you hear about our church? She says, oh, my sister used to come here. She used to love this church. Who's your sister? She told me her name. I remember her. What happened to her? Her boyfriend shot her in the head and killed her on Jamaica Avenue. Yeah. Don't think it all the time in the world. You don't know that. So the Holy Spirit convicts unsaved people. So what do you mean by convict? Holy Spirit's trying to tell them, you need to get saved. You're not saved. Jesus died for your sins. You need to be born again. If you don't get right with God, you're going to die and go to hell. That's conviction. He convinces people that if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. So the Holy Spirit convicts unsaved, but being convicted is not the same as being regenerated. To be regenerated, you got to say, okay, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And the moment a sinner receives the Lord Jesus Christ, he's born again into the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in him and live in him. Then the Holy Spirit becomes his teacher. Then the Holy Spirit's teaching him. You need to get baptized. You need to join the church. Hey, you went out and you got saved. Now go tell some of your other friends how to get saved. Amen?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit teaches them that. Now, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, remember, we're talking about John 14, 15, and 16. If you forget most of what I said, don't forget that. If you want to learn how the Holy Spirit's your teacher, you study those three chapters. He'll teach you a lot, believe me. John 14, 15, and 16. In John 16, verse 8, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would reprove the world of sin. What does that mean, he'll reprove the world of sin? Convict sinners. And the greatest sin of all is the sin of unbelief. Out of all the sins. Listen, a person can be a murderer and still go to heaven. Do you know that? If he repents, sure. Hey, didn't David commit murder? He sure did. He had Bathsheba's husband, right? Hittite burning, right? He repented and he went to heaven. A person can be a murderer, a thief, a liar. He can be the worst kind of scoundrel and so on. But an unbeliever will never go to heaven. Never. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. The Bible says condemned already. It's not like, well, he dies. Oh, now you're condemned. He was condemned all along because he doesn't believe the gospel.
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in Jesus. Doesn't believe the Bible. He's condemned. So the Holy Spirit convicts sinners, and he convicts them of the sin of unbelief. So sinners are convicted by the Holy Spirit. But in order to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit, they first need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And the only way to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. R.A. Torrey said this, any profound book is immeasurably more interesting and helpful when we have the author of the book right at hand to interpret it to us. And it is always our privilege to have the author of the Bible right at hand when we study it. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and he stands ready to interpret its meaning to every believer every time he opens the book. To understand the book, we must look to him. Then the darkest places become clear. We often need to pray with the psalmist of old, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. It is not enough that we have the revelation of God before us in the written word to study. We must also have the inward illumination of the Holy Spirit to enable us to apprehend it as we study. So we have the Word of God, and we thank God for the Word of God. But we also need the Spirit of God to open our eyes and open our hearts so we can understand God's Word. The hymn writer put it this way, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. That hymn captures perfectly what I'm trying to say about spiritual illumination. Illumination is the divine quickening of the believer's mind by the Holy Spirit. This illumination enables us to understand the Word of God. We need it, and we thank God for it. There are areas of truth that the human mind can never find out except by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, says the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How come these unlearned men, these ignorant men, supposedly ignorant men, knew so much? They marveled when they listened to them because they perceived that Peter and John had been with Jesus. That's the key. They'd been with Jesus. Jesus said to Simon Peter in Matthew 16, verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You get that? He said, God has revealed that directly to you. No man taught you that. In fact, if you read Paul's epistles, Paul said the same thing. Remember when Paul got saved, he went off, was missing for a while? Well, he wasn't missing. He knew where he was, and God knew where he was. He was, the Spirit of God was teaching him directly. Let's move on here. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual illumination. Let me just say a few words about spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Look quickly at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Watch it, because they're spiritually discerned. Some things can only be understood by the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. And Paul says here, the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot receive these things. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they're foolishness to him. Isn't that amazing? Things that we hold near and dear are foolish to worldly people. And things which are near and dear to worldly people, we consider foolish. Have you heard about that? We need to be born again by the Spirit of God in order to be saved. Jesus said you must be born again. Furthermore, our minds have to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. We need to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And then there must be also spiritual discernment. Verse 14 says these things are spiritually discerned. Some things, beloved, cannot be learned by seeing, or by hearing, or by human reasoning. Certain things cannot be attained by human means. These things must be attained by the Holy Spirit. Go back with me, please, to verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us, means God has revealed them unto us, Christians, those of us that are indwelt by the Spirit of God, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice God freely gives us these things. You want to learn? God will teach you as much as you want to learn. If you don't know a whole lot, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Amen? Let's look at it from a worldly point of view. Someone wants to get an education, he's going to work at it, right? He might have to work a job during the day and go to school at night or whatever. He's going to push. He's going to learn, right? Well, the same thing in the spiritual realm. You want to learn? Spirit of God will teach you if you really want to learn. But some people don't want to learn. They take the Bible and push it aside. They turn the TV. Holy Spirit's not going to teach you much watching TV, amen? No. And I'm not knocking TV, there's some good things on there, but I'm talking about if you really want to learn the Bible, you've got to read the Bible and study the Bible, amen? The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. So, if you look at verse number 13, things which also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unconverted man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, I've said this many times, but I just can't say it enough because it's so important. the Holy Spirit will never teach us or lead us contrary to the Word of God. The reason why I repeat this so many times is I have met so many folks who tell me, Pastor, God showed me this. I say, brother, he couldn't have shown you that because it's contrary to the Bible. It doesn't line up with Scripture. The Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. We need to study God's Word. And as we study God's Word, the Holy Spirit opens it up to us, for us. That's what we call illumination. And He gives us discernment. You know, I've met some Christians over the years, you probably have too, that have great spiritual discernment. Right? How did they get that way? Well, obviously, they have been studying the Bible for years, and the Spirit of God has taught them. Amen? That's how they've gotten that way. It doesn't happen overnight. I like that old song. I mentioned the other song, Open My Eyes, that I may see. How about this one? More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will, discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. There you have it. By the way, that's why I like these old hymns, right? I mean, they got good doctrine in these old hymns. Some of these new songs, these contemporary songs, the doctrine is not there. Sometimes the doctrine is even wrong. But these old songs, more about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will, discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Beloved, to get spiritual discernment, to develop spiritual discernment, we need to read our Bibles every day. If you're not reading your Bible every day, may I encourage you to do that today? Can you make up your mind today, before you leave this building, I'm going to read my Bible every day? You say, Pastor, I'm so busy. You should have time to read a couple of chapters of the Bible, amen?
Amen.
And some of you can do a lot more than a couple of chapters. Yeah, if you read four chapters a day, you can read the whole Bible through in a year. You know, we're getting close to the end of the year. Every year, around the beginning of the year, I say, read your Bible through this year. Make this year a commitment. You're going to read your Bible through. I made that commitment many, many years ago. I read my Bible through. Every year, I read it through. My wife does too. Read the Bible through. Read your Bible through. Make that commitment. I'm going to read it through from Genesis to Revelation. It grieves me when I meet Christians and say, I've been saved a long time, but I haven't read the Bible yet. No, oh, I read Psalms, and I read, you know, most of the New Testament, but I never read, you know, Ezekiel or Zechariah. Well, you ought to read it, amen?
Amen.
Hey, someday you're going to be in heaven, and you're going to meet Ezekiel and Zechariah. And they're going to say, well, how'd you like my book? I didn't read it, sorry. What? How long were you there on earth? Oh, I lived to be about 90 years old. 90 years old. How old were you when you were converted? Oh, I was saved when I was 20 years old. 70 years on earth, never read my book? Oh, that would be embarrassing, huh? You'd probably want to get away from them real quick, right? Yeah. Read the Bible, beloved. Amen?
Amen.
Read it through from Genesis to Revelation. You can't go wrong. It'll bless your soul. So many folks have said to me, many people said to me, Pastor, I'm glad you keep on saying that because I took you up on it and now I'm reading the Bible every day. What a blessing it's been. Amen?
Amen.
I'm seeing things I never saw before. I've been saved all these years, never even saw that before.
Amen.
You know why you're seeing it now? The Holy Spirit, your teacher, he's showing you things. Amen?
Amen.
Read your Bible every day. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. What does full age mean? Mature, spiritually mature. Strong meat. In other words, you don't give strong meat to a little baby, right? Get a baby, it's only a month old, you're not going to give him a T-bone steak, right? I don't think so. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How did they develop that discernment? How? That tells you right there, Hebrews 5:14. By reason of use. By reason of use. How come some people are in such good shape? They're always exercising by reason of use. Working out, going to the gym, doing push-ups, doing sit-ups, jogging. By reason of use, they're in good shape. How come some people are in bad shape? They never exercise. They lie on the couch in a bag of potato chips, watch TV. They're in bad shape. Doctor tells you, you better get in shape, man, you're in bad shape. Well, here's the spiritual doctor telling you, better read your Bible, get in shape, amen? Yeah. But strong meat. And by the way, there's some people they've been saved a long time. You still can't eat strong meat. Amen? You're still on the baby bottle. Time to move up. Amen? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Means spiritually mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And every now and then I hear about some Baptist running off and joining the Roman Catholic Church or running off and joining Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me tell you something. A person who does that has no spiritual discernment. In fact, let me go further. I question how they can even be saved and join a group that doesn't believe in salvation by God's grace through faith in Christ. How can they do that? The true believer, according to our Bible, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the true believer has the mind of Christ. This is the wisdom of God. The spirit of man, look at verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11, talking about the spirit of man and then the spirit of God. See the contrast? The spirit of man, verse 11, refers to man's God-given ability to study and reason and analyze and research and so on. The spirit of man allows a man to learn the fine arts, play piano, learn mathematics, and history and geography and science and any knowledge on a purely natural and human plane. But there are spiritual truths that can only be understood, that we can understand only if the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. I heard a story many years ago when I went through my notes and found it about William Pitt, the younger. Now, William Pitt, the older, is his dad. He's the one they named Pittsburgh after and so on in Pennsylvania. But William Pitt, the younger, was by all accounts a brilliant man. In 1783, he became the youngest prime minister of England, only 24 years old. Now, to be that successful, he's obviously a very intelligent, capable young man. Martin Lloyd-Jones tells an interesting story about William Pitt, the younger, in his book called Compelling Christianity. He said that William Wilberforce, now his name might ring a bell too, William Wilberforce was the leader in England of the abolition movement to get rid of the terrible slave trade and stop slavery. And God used him and raised him up to stop that in England. And they abolished slavery over there before we did over here, through the days of President Lincoln and Civil War and so on. But anyway, he said William Wilberforce and William Pitt the Younger were good friends. The one big difference between them, William Wilberforce was a Christian and William Pitt was not. But William Wilberforce was trying to get William Pitt to go to church with him. Invite him to church, hear the gospel. And as I said, Wilberforce was a Christian. He started the abolition movement. He worked tirelessly as a member of parliament to end the evils of slave trading. Pitt was a nominal Christian. He claimed to believe in Jesus, but he wasn't born again. But he did agree to go to church with him. And the preacher's name was Richard Cecil, who by reputation was a great gospel preacher. Richard Cecil preached the word of God with great power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wilberforce was greatly blessed and encouraged by the message. And Martin Lloyd-Jones described it this way. He said, Wilberforce's heart was moved and his intellect enlightened as Robert Cecil expounded the scriptures and unfolded the riches of God's grace in Christ. He was wondering what was happening to his friend. When the sermon ended, they walked out. And William Pitt turned to William Wilberforce and said, I haven't the faintest or the slightest idea what that man had been talking about. Wow. And why is that? You say, well, William Pitt probably kind of a slow guy, not too bright. No, he's a very bright man. He needed the Spirit of God. Amen. And if you're not saved today, you need the Spirit of God. And you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Not only, see, we think, well, you know, we need Jesus because we're going to die someday. You want to go to heaven, you just, certainly that's true. But you need Jesus every day, amen? I need the Spirit every day. You know, Jesus says we not only receive eternal life, we receive the abundant life too when we have Jesus, amen? So you need Jesus in your life if you're not saved. Let me encourage you today, if you're not saved, to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard preaching before, you've been to church before, you've read the Bible before, friends and loved ones have been encouraging to get saved before. Don't put it off any longer. Today's the day. Make up your mind you're going to get saved. Amen? Some of you are saved, but you haven't been really living a Christian life the way you should. The Spirit of God has been teaching you that. Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's been teaching you that. You know, you haven't really been living a Christian life the way you should. You know, the Christian life shouldn't be down here. Amen? It should be way up. Paul says in Ephesians, we're seated in the heavenlies. Amen? So don't be content with a substandard Christian life. Amen? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach this Lord's Day. Lord, there's so much I really wanted to say, and I guess I couldn't get it all in, but I'm thankful for what was said, and I pray that you'll use it to really speak to hearts today. I pray particularly for those that aren't saved, that will save them, but even for those that are saved, that Lord, you really help them to be better Christians, to read their Bibles, and to understand they have the best teacher, and that's the indwelling Holy Spirit.